Welcome to the Sailor Noob Podcast, where a superfan and a noob talk about the original Sailor Moon episode by episode. I'm your host, Mikan Hana, joined by my co-host.
I'm the co-host, Caliban. I'm also the noob, and this is the miracle of romance.
And we're a couple of magical people ready to moon cosmic power make up this episode. Today we are talking about episode number 98, Tomodachi o Sukue, Moon Uranusu Rengo in Japanese. To save our friends, Moon and Uranus join forces, the English translation, and the English title, Friendly Foes.
Friendly Foes.
Yeah.
It explains itself. I don't have to say a word.
Right.
Last week it was Robbie Rinsu. This week it's Ransu Rango.
Yeah, okay.
So we're bring the Scooby bit back.
Oh, wow.
It's funny that almost 100 times now, you've just said words, and it's like, huh? Now Mercury's being targeted. Okay, that's what that means.
Uh-huh.
I think there's a trope in entertainment where a character is a stranger in a strange land.
Yes.
Or she's. Right. And they're exposed to language for a while, and they just start to get it after a while.
Right? Yeah. That actually happens, though.
No, I don't think it does. Because I've been flush with Japanese for 2 years, and none of it, I don't know. I know sushi. I'm not learning anything.
Okay.
The Duolingo owl is coming for me.
Oh, my goodness.
Like a black rider, I'm hiding under the tree.
I think you're selling yourself a little short. I think your pronunciation has gotten...
I got Ransu Rango and Robbie Rinsu.
It's... Uranusu Rango, which
okay,
is...
All right.
Uranus.
It's clearly the bit is not about me getting it exactly right.
All right.
Speaking of language, look what I did.
What did you do?
Mommy, wow. I looked up what translation that we are currently experiencing.
Oh, okay.
The miracle of romance is what I call it, because that's the lyrics to the end of Moonlight Densetsu. This is how I cracked it. That was my Rosetta Stone. I looked up the lyrics to Moonlight Densetsu, and I was able to match them in three different versions to the three dubs, I'm going to keep doing that.
It's okay.
That we have done up to this point.
Oh, okay.
So I think we started with the Mist Dream.
Okay.
Where the song talks about moonlight guides and the mysterious miracle crosses over. What? And then I think we move to the Kurozuki.com translation.
Okay.
Where they say that we are led by the light of the moon and a wondrous miracle approaches us.
Okay.
We three kings.
It sounds
now,
kind of flowery.
Now
but
I know
it.
For a fact that we're on the Viz Media translation,
oh.
Which talks about the miracle of romance.
Okay.
That's Miracle Romansu.
Okay.
And the moonlight guides us to our destination, dear.
Okay. All
Do
right.
Do they stick the deer on there?
Possibly.
What's the Japanese character for deer?
I don't know that there is
Not
a character.
That's a little line with two sticks going down, okay. A couple sticks going up.
All right. Right. It looks like a deer.
I know they have deer.
Yeah. I mean, there are certain terms of endearment, like you could stick...
Don't confuse the issue.
I don't know, so I'm not going to say, because I'm going to be wrong.
Somewhere on the other side of the world, there's just two idiots doing a podcast called Yojo or something like that, and they're like, you know, complaining about like, oh, the English doesn't make any sense. Duke goes to the 7-Eleven, what's that? Right? In the fashion of Star Trek, I'm proposing an alternate mirror universe where, Caliban and Amika exist in Japan. And they're doing a cartoon about an English cartoon that's a toy commercial from the 1980s.
Yeah, I could totally see that. The only problem is they have 7-Elevens over in Japan, so...
Well, that part they would understand. They'd be like, yeah, I get it.
I get that part,
What's this Buffalo Wild Wings, though?
Why is it chicken?
Well, first of all, it looks like,
and then
it goes
it's
like this.
Like...
A couple lines going down, a couple lines going up.
Why is it chicken, but it's called buffalo?
Yeah. Right. Okay. See,
that's
we're,
confusing.
We're totally ridiculous.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I take back everything I ever said.
Boneless wings. What?
That's the best part.
Yeah.
And you got to eat the buffalo with the head to the left. And you eat the entire, you flip it over.
Right.
And then
right.
all the rest.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You got it. So could you give us a breakdown of this episode, Cal?
I'm going to do that, but I have to explain something.
Okay, go right ahead.
Right off the top. Because this show opens on a bank of TV monitors, which is a sight that today's generations can't even conceive.
No.
Before you could have an 85-inch flat screen or just a wall, an LED, like, wall, you know?
Yeah, right.
In my days, the billboards didn't move. But the height of technology or decadence was careful. The height of technology or decadence was getting 16 or 25 box TVs all stacked on top of each other, right?
Yes.
And then, like, they can show different stuff, but if they're wired right, you can show one big picture spread out in very low resolution across all of them.
Yeah.
And I racked my brains trying to think of, like, a music video or something where you could see this.
Okay.
I didn't come up with anything. I figured there's got to be some Motley Crue video or something where they're doing something in front. I couldn't find anything. The best I came up with was Talking Heads' Wild Wild Life, but that's not really what I'm talking about.
Okay. I feel like I can picture this.
I should have asked you.
You know, I feel like there's like mouths moving or something.
I went through like 20 Madonna videos. I figured Madonna has to be.
Right.
But she's always on a boat or something like that. She's doing something.
Doing something else. Yeah.
Like Billy Idol or something.
Yeah. Or like, did The Cure ever do something like that? Maybe not.
Well, maybe they did, but then maybe they looked at the camera and like with the slightest roll of the eyes, like, I don't even own a TV, right? I've got 8 kinds of mascara, but no TV.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, anyway, exactly. It's real cyberpunk.
It is.
To have 40 TVs looking at you.
Yes.
But this entire room seems to be walled with TVs, like Ozymandias in The Watchmen.
Yeah.
Look that up. And we see an image of Sailor Moon and her friends on one of these TVs. And a voice says, the 5 Sailor Guardians. And blueberry, strawberry, lemon lime, vanilla, and boysenberry. It's up to you which one is boysenberry. They're meddlesome pests. And these other two. And we see Neptune and Uranus as well.
Yes.
And Uranus. And we see Kara Knight bathed in the static light of these TVs, and she says, they seem to know our movements. And the voice, which presumably is that of Dr. Giggles, although I'll give you a spoiler, we don't know.
Uh-huh.
We don't see Mr. Giggles in this one.
No.
Doctor. I didn't go to 7 years of giggle school to be called Mr. Thanks. But he says, we'll use that to lure them out. And Kari says, well, all right. And I noticed, I don't know if this is a thing, but her earrings, she has these like wide and flat gold earrings.
Mm-hmm.
And they reminded me of Koban pieces.
Koban pieces?
These are Ryo. These are the pre-Meiji gold currency of Japan.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're like oval and the stamp flat. And then I don't know if they probably have significance, but they have, you know, usually like horizontal lines on them. And it's like, it reminded me of that.
Yeah, it does look like that for sure.
What's that mean?
Money.
Clearly nothing, because you're not, you don't have your I'm hiding spoilers face.
She's been wearing them this entire time.
It's decadent. So
it is decadent.
It might connect to my theory about her. I don't think literally we're going to find out that she is the whore of Babylon, but I'm just saying it's Babylon is equated with decadence. The whore of Babylon has been, it's basically just something that like people in a certain church call somebody else that they don't like, but it's been
fantastic.
Associated with a lot of things. And one of the things is like, you know, the decadence of the world as opposed to, you know, good guys, holy people.
Right.
So, I don't know. Right. She had money for earrings, old-timey money.
I don't think that Kaori is very religious. I'm kind of guessing.
No.
So that all fits.
Yeah, those earrings, they really mark her as somebody who's not religious. 18 inches below that, giant cleavage.
Well,
but, you know.
Yeah, right.
Looking at the earrings. Cut to the hills outside of Tokyo, a dirt motorcycle racing track. We see motocross riders doing their thing. We see a couple of guys who did not come in first place cross the finish line and tear off their helmets in frustration.
Uh-huh.
And we see our girls and Mamoru trackside celebrating Haruka's win.
Yes.
Mamoru says, her riding skills are top-notch. It's high praise. And Ray says she's very skilled to win against those men, meaning that this is a tough bracket she's in and she has the most skill in that bracket, right?
Yeah, that's
right.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, Viz.
Yeah, I know.
We just praise you for your localization. You make it sound as like, oh, she beat guys? Wow.
I think that, do you think that people would still be surprised at something like that?
Well, today? It's not a men-only competition. I mean, you're going to talk later about whether they let women do it or not, but I'm just saying they never say that in the show. But if they had phrased that differently, it would have been like, wow, I didn't know she was so good. How about that? Instead of like,
it would have been better.
She's really good if she beat those men.
She's just really good. Period.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then, yeah, maybe Mina could have said that, but that's not what happens.
No.
Instead, Ami, whose face is naturally in a book, says, oh no, I forgot an English word I memorized. You keep doing you, Ami. We never find out what that word is.
No,
that's like a...
That would have been nice.
Barely a... That's like a pre-setup for a punchline. And Mina's like, just shrugs.
I know.
It's like, I would do a proverb bit here, but you're not giving me anything. Later, backstage, as it is.
Yes.
Haruka and Michiru are hanging out by Haruka's bike, and Usagi comes running up with the whole group, and she says, hey! Mamo brought us. That's like a weird specific thing. Okay. I don't know anything about you, but my boyfriend is a big fan.
Do you think
Hey, are you so and so? I don't listen to you, but oh boy, they love you.
Do you think that's what it is?
You never get that? As a semi-celebrity?
I don't
know what this is, but that's pretty great.
I know what you're talking about.
Mamo brought us.
Yeah.
While this is happening, three helmeted racers surround them, and they're wielding wrenches like it's an AHA video.
I know. And, like, all of them have wrenches.
Yeah.
I mean, I know
you
that's
wanted
around.
Them to have, like, a, you know, like a hammer or a sledgehammer or something like that. Another guy's got a tree branch.
Yeah.
The guy's got a gun. Why does he need a gun? A grease gun.
Yeah, there you go.
One of them says, hey, women have no business winning here. And Haruka says, stop fighting dirty. The fastest one wins. If you're not first, you're last.
Mm-hmm.
Despite the fact that they are threatening seven superheroes, Mamoru jumps out and says, hey, you're a bunch of sore losers. Good one, Mamo. They're pissing their pants.
Really nailed
and
it.
Just in case there aren't enough non-superpowered men helping out, another guy shows up and says, knock it off. His name is Yamada.
Yeah.
Which we know, because his racing outfit says Yamada on it. And his brother's name is Yamaha. He's right over there. He says, let's go. And the punks, they all take off. Haruka says, that's Katsutoshi Yamada. He came in second place. She doesn't laugh and say it with the relish that I just did, but that'd be great.
Oh my gosh.
Michiru says, he's very passionate about racing, but he's got a pure heart. A juicy pure heart.
Whoa.
Oh. Hey, Haruka, I'll keep an eye on him.
I know.
And his juicy heart.
Like, maybe you guys shouldn't salivate so much over his pure heart. Seriously.
On the midway, we see a booth where a guy is selling motocross rider dolls, like Kewpie dolls, for 1,000 yen. Great deal.
Uh-huh.
And Usagi's, she's into this. She's like, oh, kimochi. Feels nice. But as she's admiring the dolls, the bus everybody else is on takes off. And
yeah.
Ray looks out the window and she's like, it's Usagi. She's running alongside the bus.
I know.
And she's like, what do we do? And Mamaru was like, she's not a child. She'll catch up.
But
is it a tough love strategy? Or
yeah, seriously. She is a child.
This has happened to Mamo before.
Oh, you think so?
I think this has happened before. He is not worried by this.
I mean,
I think he has arrived on time to a lot of movies that she showed up 20 minutes later to.
Well, that's true.
With a different date on the bus pass. As the bus pulls away, Usagi stops out of breath and she goes back to consult the bus schedule. The next bus is an hour from now, but Haruka rides up, offers her a helmet and says, hop on. Don't be shy. You think whatever you want about that. And they peel out. And as they're driving, a truck pulls up close behind them and then alongside of them and bumps into them from the side, sending sparks flying.
Yeah.
Okay. You are now in the process of committing vehicular homicide over a bike race.
Yeah.
This is big bullies in 80s movies energy here. They do this all the time. Hey,
yes.
Look, it's the impossibly handsome nerd. Let's run him off this cliff road. Hijinks.
I know!
Haruka says, hold on, Bunhead, and guns it, and they pull away from the truck, which we see is driven by the punks from before.
Yes.
She pulls off the road, and they hide behind some trees as the truck pulls into a clearing, and the guys get out, and we're just going to upgrade this to plain attempted murder now, it looks like.
Uh-huh.
Assault and battery with grievous bodily harm, at the very least.
Mm-hmm.
Usagi grabs onto Haruka and thinks, it feels like a man is holding me.
Yep.
And she feels confused as I Wanna Come Over by Melissa Etheridge starts to play. Gwyneth Paltrow's in the video for that one.
Is she?
In case you think I'm overselling it, the next thing Usagi says is, you smell so nice, Haruka. What cologne do you use?
I know. You're not overselling it.
But Haruka's like, shut up. We're hiding. The punks are searching the area for the girls, but Haruka stands up and walks into the clearing and says, looking for me? The punks try to attack, I think, but like nothing happens before they are destroyed by Haruka's fierce kicks.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't fleeing. She was just getting away from any witnesses. I'm not locked in this forest with you. You're locked in here with me.
That's right.
As the punks flee in their truck, Haruka says, races should be won fair and square. And Usagi says, Haruka, you're so strong. And we quickly and suspiciously cut miles away to another scene entirely. What's up, show? Did you write yourself into a corner you couldn't get out of?
Possibly.
I'll just say, the Usagi Ruka category on Archive of Our Own is depressingly small.
Really?
Yes.
That's kind of surprising.
I might have just invented Usagi Ruka.
I don't think so. There's a fair amount
I
of
might
people
have invented that term, though.
Who ship them, but I think a lot of people also just really like Haruka and Michiru together, Yeah, but okay. I think that there is a lot of people who ship them together.
Well, anyway, we'll leave these two.
All right.
We'll cut to the drapes, and as the music swells, and we cut to Yamada, mid-sweet 80s dirt bike movie montage.
Yeah.
He's hitting jumps. He's driving through the rivers. He's going to be the champion. He parks at the top of a waterfall and says, I'll win that motocross race.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta win that race. And in the shadows of some grass, I don't know where the cover is here. She's under a shady tree.
Yeah.
We see Sailor Neptune watching him. So they're just...
Just really creepy.
They're just stalking good-hearted people now.
It feels like that way.
Come on, this heart is so juicy. Come on.
It's like you were literally just waiting for this to happen.
We're just staking out good people.
Yeah. It's kind of messed up.
If you hang out around homeless shelters, after they serve the food, do the people come out? Or I'll just get a busload of nuns. I mean, one of them has got to be a pretty good one.
Wow.
They're predatory.
That's how it feels.
Well,
yes.
Somebody already knows that this guy is good because out of the pool at the base of this waterfall, in one of the greatest entrances in the show, floats Karonite. Inside a bubble?
She can't get
her hair wet.
Yeah, right.
She's just enclosed in a bubble.
Uh-huh.
And she's holding a demon egg.
Uh-huh.
While a rainbow is overhead.
Yeah.
So Sailor Moon said LGBTQ rights.
That's right.
And she releases the egg and it merges with Yamada's motorcycle. I was hoping for motocross Cupid doll, but we'll have to take this. And the cycle throws him off as it begins to stand up on its own. And Neptune thinks, just as we thought, juicy heart.
Yes.
Cut back to Usagi and Haruka, and it looks like Haruka's having bike trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Her spark plugs have burned out. I swear, this never happens.
Whoa.
She gets a call from Michiru on her watch, who says, the sea is raging. the eagle has landed.
Yeah, that's their code.
Yeah.
That's Michiru's code.
The sea is raging. Yeah, she gets that call late at night.
Whoa.
Come back to the motocross track. Haruka tells Usagi, well, something came up. My bike is broken. Can't give you a ride. But the bus stop is over there. Later. And she runs off into the forest. Totally normal stuff.
Yeah. I know.
Usagi, a superhero who runs off to transform every day, thinks, I wonder what came up. Well, I guess I'll follow her. What could it be?
Yeah, I know.
It'd be like if Peter Parker and Matt Murdock were consulting on a case, and then, the stilt man went by, and then Daredevil's like, I have to go to the bathroom, hold on. And Peter Parker's like, yeah, I gotta make a call. And then they both run out, and then Spider-Man and Daredevil both show up. And they fight stilt man, and he's down.
Yeah, I see your point.
Yeah, and then Daredevil comes back in, and he's like, oh, he's not here. Well, I'll have to pretend I don't know he's not here. because I'm blind. And he'll just start talking. And then Peter Parker will slip in the window and be like, oh, he thinks I'm here. And he's already talking. All right. So anyway, yeah, I was talking about... You don't notice these patterns.
I know. I know. It's frustrating.
I wonder where she's going.
I know.
She just ran into the woods.
I will say
Haruka
this,
Squatch. The majestic Haruka Squatch.
Whoa.
There she goes.
I was going to say before that I do like that Usagi like does run after her, though. Like, as I feel like in season one, she would have just, like, Luna would have had to make her follow her.
She would be foraging in the forest for food because she was hungry.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well.
So it shows character growth.
Even
though they
It also shows that bits have a lifespan, a half-life.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if it's growth or if it's just the people that make the show are like, we can't tell the jokes anymore. So and people are just like, yeah, we get it. She's hungry. So growth by default.
Yes.
Well, back at the waterfall, Yamada is backing away from his transformed motorcycle who has a headlight boob.
Yep.
We'll talk about it.
We will.
She screams, Tyron! And fires a beam from the star on her forehead right into his chest. His motocross armor is no help.
No.
Got off Amazon. And his heart is grabbed by Tyron. And Sailor Neptune, a superhero who just sat and watched all this happen,
says,
I won't let this happen. Answering the call from a new era, Sailor Neptune fights with elegance. And negligence.
Yeah.
And ulterior motives.
Yes.
She fires off a deep submerge and Tyron goes down as number two only to mysterious Yoma as the weak-assest Yoma. At least he had to kick the London Yoma. This was just sad.
This is true. Yes.
Neptune returns Yamada's heart and says, quick, get somewhere safe. I'm a superhero. That's why I'm here. But Kyronite is still here. And she laughs and says, I don't care if his crystal is a talisman or not. I'm here for you.
Yeah.
And the races. I'm going to watch those later. And guess what? Double Tyron.
Yeah.
The not dead Yoma splits into two and both demons transform into tires with faces, which seems like a big disadvantage if you think about it for 1 second.
Yeah.
How do they, are they like BB-8? Can the face just hover in one place as the wheel turns?
Fantastic question. Would just question.
Be like, just be rolling on her face all the time.
Yeah, I know.
Doesn't make any sense.
I know.
Do you know about the horror movie Rubber?
No.
It's about a sentient telepathic tire that kills people.
That sounds terrible. Did somebody watch?
Sailor Moon fans?
Yeah, possibly. Good question. I was going to say it reminds me of Christine.
Edibles. I don't know.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's a Christine. It's Christine. Yes. It's 1/64th of Christine.
Yeah.
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 Huh. They watch Christine and they're like, what if less car?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't have enough money to have this car wrecked
we got
a whole
budget.
Bunch of times.
We can't. get a Bel Air or Ford Fairlane or whatever it was.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
I don't know what Christine is. That's terrible.
What? How did that even happen? Like, does the tire just roll around?
Yep.
I'm so confused.
From the tire's point of view.
Weird.
Well, it doesn't go around and around and around. This is kind of my point. This is why I brought this up.
Yeah.
Anyway, these tires, just stick with me here. I know this is going to seem like I'm just...
Go for it.
I got hit in the head, but they tie Neptune to a tree somehow.
Yep.
And they're giggling, spin, spin, on the subtitles. And that's in the subtitles, though. They're both making that engine gunning sound.
Yeah.
Like the Damon steering.
Yeah, yeah, right. That's true.
And they're both ready for the killing blow, or just a bounce off her, I don't know.
Yeah.
But Sailor Uranus arrives, and Kyronite's like, okay, oh, well, we're going to have to kill you both, I guess.
Right.
As this is going on, Usagi is running to where they are. She's doing a lot of running in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And she emerges from the bushes to see Eyecatch.
Yes.
They actually, like, put it. They use it to, like, break up the action here. When we come back from that, she sees Neptune tied to a tree and Kyronite sitting in the tree and two tire women stalking towards Uranus. And she thinks, wow, maybe I'm not ready for an alternative lifestyle.
Whoa!
You guys are weird. Both Tyrons transform again and they attack Uranus and Usagi decides to get involved. She transforms into Sailor Moon, but I guess like in the bushes, so nobody knows.
Yes.
Uranus leaps away from the tires, but Kyronite says, stop fighting or your friend gets it. And she laughs while she holds a shard of crystal to Neptune's throat.
Yeah.
However, a flying tiara cuts Neptune's bonds.
Yes.
And for good measure, knocks the crystal from Kyronite's hands. before flying back into the bushes.
Yes.
Sailor Moon emerges and says, "You shouldn't fight Dirty. I'm on neither of your sides, but I can't forgive pulling dirty tricks." And both Tyrans roll at her immediately, but she jumps over them and tells Uranus, "Get Neptune out of here." Uranus says, "I didn't ask for your help." And she pushes Sailor Moon out of the way, just in time to avoid these Tyrans.
Yes.
They're everywhere.
Yes.
Or is it one Tyran? Is it still Tyran, plural, double Tyran?
It's double Tyran, because they don't, when there's plural.
Double dog Tyran.
Right. When there's plural in Japanese, they don't usually add an S.
Oh, that's true.
So
I was making a point about, like, is it still one person in two bodies, or...
Oh,
two hearts, believing just one mind.
Don't know. They don't really get into that. So
I was trying to.
Yeah. Oh.
But it looks like we're not going to.
Anyway,
she landed
possibly.
Funny.
Possibly.
I guess she landed funny because she's cradling her arm. Uranus is like, ooh, oh.
Yes.
I've got a non-specified injury.
Yeah.
Sailor Moon says, get out of here. And Kara Knight observes, they have no teamwork whatsoever. Crush them, Tyrans.
Mm-hmm.
And the Tyrans start rotating, which is not how Tyrans work. I mean, it is how they start rotating. They start rotating. Not on their axis. They start rotating.
Right.
Spinning.
Spinning around. Like, yeah. Right.
If if car's tires are spinning, you're either Inspector Gadget or you're in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
But they shoot Chain Ring.
Yeah.
Which becomes a shackle that locks Uranus and Usagi's wrists together like handcuffs. We got a Defiant Ones situation here.
What?
Or any network sitcom from the 80s.
Yeah. What is a Defiant One?
It's a law of sitcoms that if a pair of handcuffs are introduced, the key to them will be lost in the second act.
Yeah, and you got to handcuff two characters that don't get along or have some sort of problem with each other. Yes.
It will be reflected in the rating. Yeah. They got to work together.
Yeah.
Tyran bears down on them, and they lurch around trying to dodge. And Kara Knight, lest we didn't get it, says, these guys can't. They don't cooperate at all. It's like watching a three-legged race. Hey, next time, tell Tyran to shackle their feet. Then we got a three-legged race.
Right.
We call that a step-by-step. Yeah, right, because it's a sitcom.
Because of the TV show,
Their feet, their legs, step by step. So, right. Uranus and Moon are having a real problem coordinating, and Kara Knight is loving it. She says, "You're going to die hating each other." Which is good stuff. It looks bad, but Neptune says, "Uranus, get out of here. You have to carry on our goals." But Kara Knight whips her hair around her neck and flings her off the cliff, which is something I did not know she could do.
Yeah. It's the first time we see this power of hers.
Yeah.
Her hair
power.
Yeah.
So Neptune falls off this cliff and she falls into the pool below the waterfall. No, my only weakness. Water.
I know. We literally just watched an episode about how good she is at swimming.
Usagi runs to where she fell, but Uranus pulls her back and they run off into the forest. Yes, we're doing a Defiant Ones. Yes, yes. They take shelter in a cave. Usagi asks Uranus if she's just going to abandon Neptune, but Uranus tells her to be quiet because they're hiding. This girl won't stop talking. The Tyrans, they come by and they look in with their headlights. Usagi calls Uranus heartless for leaving Neptune behind, but Uranus says, "What do you know about me? We made a promise, her and Neptune.
Yes.
That if something happens, we wouldn't give in to emotions and save the other." I've been in relationships like that. Usagi asks, "What's so special about the talismans that you have to go so far to get them and to take people's hearts to do it?" But Uranus says, "Don't worry about it. You're just naive. The silence is coming and the talismans can save us from it. If we can save the world, anything is worth that. What would you do?" Usagi has no answer.
Uh-huh.
Back at the waterfall, Kara Knight is looking for Neptune. Not very hard. And I guess that was important because then we cut back to the cave. I'll tell you what happens here. So as Usagi is not answering that tough question, we kind of focus out on them and then we focus in on a stalactite ceiling.
Yes.
And a drop of water is coming down. Then we cut to the pool.
In the water.
And we're reminded that water exists.
Yes.
Then we immediately cut back and a drop of water lands on Uranus's injured shoulder.
Yep.
And that's enough to make her go, "Oh, ow." It's like, what? You wimp. Come on. It's a drop of water. How bad are you hurt? I know for a fact that you're going to go run around after this.
That's true.
So I thought like, oh, is she communicating with her with drops of water somehow? But that's not what it is. It's just
I mean, that would be water, really cool. You know? I think
Neptune,
it's just a...
Water.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
I know. I think it's just a bookmark, like, transition.
Speaking of water, Usagi is trying to treat Uranus's arm, and so she puts a wet cloth on it. And that and fanning people are two of the great pillars of Asian medicine.
Wow.
You seen that?
Yes.
putting something wet, a wet washcloth on something.
Yes.
I know that you always see it in the end of Jackie Chan films, where Jackie Chan falls off a three-story building, and then as they're putting him on the stretcher, the whole crew is like, they're fanning all fanning him. Because yes. for some reason they think that that's...
going to get the air to him more, oxygen.
I'm trying not to be like, it's a mystical thing. I don't think that's what it is.
I don't think that's what it is.
I think it has to do with, like Koreans think that fans will kill you if you sleep with one.
I have heard not that. Not like that. Yes. Right. Obviously not like that. They'll break your heart. Wow.
And other things. I think it's, I don't know what it is. I tried to look it up, but I know this is a thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, third pillar is ginseng. Usagi says, stop trying to be tough. I can't ignore somebody who's injured. And Uranus is like, you're a weird kid.
Yeah.
And Usagi's like, this might be inappropriate, but my back is itchy. Can you scratch it? And you can just think whatever you want.
Yeah.
I can't control that.
Right.
And she does. Uh-huh. This is some weird foreplay, but who am I to judge? Wow. Uranus says, Sailor Moon, I used to think you were annoying, but being here with you, and Usagi turns around, her cheeks blushing, and says, uh-huh. Being here with me?
I know.
As Ani DeFranco's 32 Flavors starts playing. Okay, I think I am running out of songs now. I am getting low on songs. Uranus notices that Tyrens has returned to the mouth of the cave, mm-hmm. and she pulls Usagi closer, which has the effect that you expect.
Uh-huh.
And as she's nestled in Uranus's bosom, mm-hmm. figure that one out.
Yep.
She smells that same cologne.
Uh-huh.
Drakkar Noir.
Yeah, right.
No time to think about that, because here comes Tyren.
Yes.
The wheels break through the rock where the Senshi are hiding. Why didn't they do that before?
I know.
And Moon and Uranus run back to where they left Neptune, and the Tyrens follow. Kara Knight notices that their movements are much more coordinated now than they were before. Thank you. Are you Chorusanite?
Yes. Yes, she is.
Saying that she's a chorus, like a Greek chorus.
Yes. I got it. Yeah, right.
Theater jokes. People keep coming back for them. Tyrens once again shoot their chain ring, but the Senshi's just like hold up their arms and the thing they shoot out cuts the shackle between them. Dumb. We see Neptune crawl out of the pool and Kara Knight's like, okay, but I'm going to kill this one though. And she dives toward Neptune, but Sailor Moon tackles her out of the sky.
Uh-huh.
Uranus gives with a world shaking and pins one Tyren in place while Sailor Moon uses the MSHA to defeat the remaining one.
Yeah.
I don't know how it works, but the motorcycle menace is no more. Kara Knight says, I'll get you for this, and flies away. And Uranus tells Usagi, I have more respect for you now, but I won't let anyone get in the way of my mission. And she goes to check on her partner.
Yes.
Neptune says, why did you take such a chance to save me? But Uranus says, it was Sailor Moon that saved you.
Yeah.
And Neptune's like, what? That's the end.
That is the end. I gotta say, I'm wondering if Haruka and Michiru, if they need the talismans so badly, why don't they have a way to get them?
We all need the talismans.
Yeah, right.
There will be no Earth anymore.
Right.
Speaking of biblical ideas, we're looking at an apocalypse here.
Yes.
You know, the end of the world.
The silence.
They're trying to... Okay. Not less impressed with Doctor Who now, but but they're trying to save the world. So yes. The mission comes above all other things.
Right.
They are the Terminator. The Terminator, I know, here we go.
Here we go.
John Connor, now Sarah Connor, most important thing in the world. Actually, Sarah Connor's over reason the most important thing in the world. Right? Protect her.
Yeah.
Well, he's trying to kill her, but like Reese is protecting her. Then her son is born. Sarah doesn't matter. So
yeah, now John matters.
John's got a Terminator, and he's like, we go to hide in the mountains or whatever. And he's like, no, we got to break my mom out of the insane asylum. And he's like, we're not doing that. That's stupid. Like, it's we're literally going to go where there's a bunch of guards and guns and stuff.
Yeah.
And I have to protect you.
Yeah.
So like they're going by Terminator rules. Like they don't matter to each other.
That's
which
true.
Is ironic and is a good contrast because in real life they are so in love.
Mm-hmm.
But they will just leave each other in a pool at the bottom of a waterfall if it means not even winning, just escaping to fight another day.
Well, and I do think that it's interesting, too, because, like, Michiru does kind of, like, she's kind of like, why the heck did you save me? Why didn't you?
Yeah, and she's even mad. She's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I told you to get out of here.
Yeah. We had a pact. What you know, you're going against that. Stop that.
Well, they always do that in the movie, and it's like, you know, you get out of here, and then right. the person comes back. It's, I couldn't leave you.
Yeah, right.
And then
right.
Say no more, say no more.
Right.
But like, yeah, but Neptune's actually like, I told you, yeah, she threw me in water. I was going to be fine.
Yeah, right. And then Uranus is like, oh, she saved you.
Oh, no, I didn't save you.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
No, you're dead to me.
Whoa.
There's that chick up there. She's coming around. Yeah, so like heroes and heroism and what they do are a big part of this.
Yes.
Hero, not just like being a superhero, but like being a hero and like what you are pledging your powers and attention to and the way that you execute it. You know, mm-hmm. Sailor Moon is just here to help people and to just interfere in things that, I mean, I guess she lives on the world, so it does matter to her, but she doesn't know. They don't know anything yet.
No, they don't.
But she's just there because she's like, hey, don't beat each other up. Like, that's, I'm here to stop. Right. I'm the playground monitor.
Right.
Whereas Neptune and Uranus are like, we're going to save the world and we'll kill everybody to do it. Every last man, woman, and child.
I don't think they want to kill everybody.
And so it's just like how people see themselves and how they employ their beneficial mission is contrasted here.
Yeah, and I think that that's one thing that's really interesting about the inner and outer Senshi, by and large, because the inner Senshi are very different from the outer Senshi, at least when, you know, they first kind of meet, and you know, they just have different roles. And so I think that that's like an interesting thing that Nako Takeuchi brought into the story.
That's a good point, because they're bigger planets.
Yeah.
And they relate more to, I don't know if it's because like you couldn't easily see them.
Right.
In the old timey days. Mm-hmm. But they relate more to the idea of magic and alchemy and like powers that are.
Probably because you couldn't see them.
Bigger.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because the inner Senshi are, you know, very earthy. They're all girls. We understand who they are. They have powers. They do stuff fine. But mm-hmm. all the outer Senshi are like mysterious and like how are tapped into like larger things. And
yeah,
so,
yeah. I would agree with that. I mean, except.
Who's Sailor Asteroid Belt? Hmm? Come on now.
Right.
Where's.
People want to know.
Where's Sailor Kuar?
Yeah. Well.
And Sailor Eris. There's an Eris now, right?
I think so. That sounds right. I'm not 100% sure. I mean, Pluto is part of the outer Senshi too, and technically not considered a planet anymore, but she was when this
there
was
is
made.
It's a dwarf planet.
Yeah, that's true.
And Sedna, Sailor Sedna. You got alliteration. It's great.
You can make up sailors for any planetary body.
Which
you
is
know.
Why Pluto people should relax.
Yes, 100% agree. And then there's other people, other fans who are kind of pedantic.
Sailor series.
Yes, exactly. But there are other fans that are kind of pedantic too and are like, why is Jupiter in the inner Senshi? It's an outer planet. It's like, because that's what Nako decided to do. And it's closer than the other outer planets. So just chill. It's a work of fiction. You can do what you want. If
Liz
you
told
will.
Me I needed five, so.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I had to.
I mean, maybe.
I had to cannibalize one from another series yeah, to get up to five.
Right. I mean, probably. There might be some truth to that, you know?
I mean, there's three knights, magic knights of Ray Earth, and there's there's three VR troopers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Three's the magical
number. There's five.
Number.
There's five original X-Men. There's five Power Rangers. There's five yeah. new kids on the block. This is five is a good number.
Five is a fantastic number.
Do what you
number.
Have to do to hit five.
I think five is a fantastic number.
There's
yeah.
So that's what I really got. And I know that was intentional. That's what I got out of this. Like the
yes.
difference in their, not only their missions, but how they execute them. What they wanted me to get was the idea of teamwork. But wow, that was really wedged in.
It was.
To the point where we have to keep cutting back to the villain and going, not a lot of teamwork. A little more teamwork. Whoa, teamwork! Like Vince McMahon meme levels of like just checking in on where the teamwork is.
Right. Well, she's Chorus Wright, so she's yeah. got to, you know, tell us what's
and we
going
go through,
on.
We go through the trouble of, it's just like, it's just so shaggy. It's like, we go through the trouble of like locking them together, Defiant One style, and that doesn't ever really matter all that much? I mean, they could have just fled to a cave, right?
Yes.
And if you have them get locked together, do it at the beginning of the episode. So they're, you know, they're running through the forest this whole time.
Yeah.
But instead they have to include this race, which is like, that's cool. I mean, like, again, it's so unlikely that the sailors would go to a motorbike race.
Maybe that's why.
Unless we find out that Makoto's really good at it for some reason.
Okay. All right.
That they literally, somebody felt like they had to go, right. Like, oh, he brought us.
Right, exactly, because Mamo is interested in motorcycles.
So, yeah, so, I mean, yeah. I don't know. It's a real Franken-sode.
It does feel that way, doesn't it? Yeah.
Franken-sode's monster. How would you describe Just Enough Trope?
We are the Just Enough Trope podcast. I'm your host, Caliban, joined as always by my co-host.
Hi, I'm Mikan Hana.
Oh no, does this mean they can hear all the things I yell at the TV during Downton Abbey?
Why did you do that?
How do you plead?
Let the game begin.
Yeah, check these fresh moves.
Oh! Don't shoot man in face.
This isn't the Save Gotham fundraiser.
It's the Chill Family Reunion.
Master Yoda assigned a Padawan to this bold Jedi.
I think it's pronounced Padawan.
Oh, Padawan, excuse me.
Hey, it's getting late. I think Ralph's going to want his motorcycle back.
Come check out the pictures of Jean Grey.
I am freaking getting old.
Yeah, I noticed the life clock was blinking in your hand.
Get out of here, Wilson. Go fight the Teen Titans or something.
I'm unkillable, not unwoundable.
You like Sailor Moon, right? Why don't you sail on this
Wow.
Just Enough Trope. News, reviews, and geek fondue. Every Monday on the Just Enough Trope podcast network.
Loving me never have a say, you so be sorry.
What? For Kyoro Kuromiro, or Curiously Looking Around, where you talk about elements of Japanese culture within the episode, today we're going to be talking about motocross in Japan.
I had a feeling.
Yes. So, motocross is a form of off-road motorcycle racing held on enclosed off-road circuits, and the sport evolved from motorcycle trials competitions held in the United Kingdom in the early 1900s, believe it or not. And the term motocross is a combination of the French word for motorcycle, or motocyclette, aka moto, and the phrase cross-country. So... Yep.
What did in Japanese? Probably just...
I think it's moto. Just motocrossu. It's just motocrossu. Perhaps the number one way that Japan has influenced motocross is the manufacturing of some of the best bikes in the sport. As we talked about on our episode when we talked about Japanese motorcycles, which was episode 69, yep. Japanese motorcycles became internationally known in the 1960s when they started competing in global races. In the late 1960s, Japanese motorcycle manufacturers began challenging the European factories for supremacy in the motocross as well. Since these races take place off-road, motorcycles had to be modified to continue to perform well in those conditions, i.e. lots of dirt, uneven road, and if the track is outside, occasionally rain.
Right.
When Japan decided to take part in the sport, they approached the bike production in two different ways. One was to modify existing manufactured motorcycles. This was either done by the manufacturer or by selling upgrade kits so the customer, the consumer, could do their own alteration.
Oh, jeez.
Which I don't even know how, yeah. I mean, probably have to be a pretty good mechanic.
Big shocks.
Yeah.
First of all.
Yeah. right. The other approach was for the manufacturers to design a completely new bike, especially built for racing. Suzuki claimed the first world championship for a Japanese factory when Joel Robert won the 1970 250cc crown. Honda put together their first prototype, hired a rider, and raced it in Japan in 1971. Their first production motocross bike was released in 1973. It was called the CR-250 Elsinore, named after a big race held in Elsinore, California. The first stadium motocross event took place in 1972 at the Los Angeles Coliseum. The event was won by 16-year-old Marty Tripes. This...
That old Tripes!
Yeah. This event paved the way for constructed stadium-based motocross events known as Supercross. So, I don't know a whole lot about motocross, and I don't know how much our listeners do either, but there are several different types of events. I'm not going to go into deep detail about that because you can look that up on your own, but I think a lot of the times when we see motocross, it's Supercross a lot of the time.
Right.
From the late 1970s to the early 1990s, Japanese motorcycle manufacturers oversaw a boom period in motocross technology. The typical air-cooled two-stroke engines with twin-shock rear suspension and telescopic front forks gave way to machines that were water-cooled and fitted with single-shock absorber rear suspension and upside-down USD for short, or inverted front forks. So.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Fork is exactly what we think it is. This is the thing that goes on either side of the front wheel.
Yes.
And then usually they have the big springs, the shocks on either side. That's the suspension. Because these guys go up a thing.
Yes.
Anybody who's watched the X Games knows this. You know, you go up a thing and you land on a thing and you're coming down 10, 15 feet. And you need a spring that's just going to take, you know, the entire weight of the bike and you and not smear you on the side of the mogul.
Right, exactly.
But also not, you know, to give it all and just you split in half down the sides of a motorcycle.
Either way is bad. Yeah. To this day, Japanese manufacturers Yamaha, Honda, Kawasaki, and Suzuki are four of the top seven manufacturers of motocross motorcycles. Opening in 1975, Sportsland Sugo is the biggest motorsports park in Japan. The park is near the town of Murata in Miyagi Prefecture and the island on the island of Honshu. It opened as a race and test area with three race courses, road race, motocross, and go-kart courses. And it also has a course for motocross trials. The international motocross course at Sportsland Sugo is 1.6 kilometers or 0.99 miles long, has 13 jumps, and is thought of to be the best course of its type in Japan and perhaps all of Asia. There are several motocross championships held in Japan, the All Japan Motocross Championship, as well as the FIM Motocross World Championship races, which are mostly held in Europe but also include events all over the globe. So Japan has some of the best bikes, has some pretty good courses, hosts multiple events each year. So what about Japanese motocross athletes? Professional Japanese riders tend to do well on events within Japan, but most do not seem to fare well in other countries and therefore may not be big names outside of Japan. While I was researching, I kept running into athletes that did well in Japan but weren't Japanese, and of course, these are international events, but it is also unclear how many Japanese motocross athletes even compete in international races. However, there are a few exceptions. Akira Watanabe, who was born in 1954, is a Japanese former professional motocross racer and team manager. He competed in the FIM Motocross World Championships from 1975 to 1982. Watanabe is notable for being the first and only Japanese competitor to win an FIM Motocross World Championship in 1978. The series runs 18 events with two races per class at each round. Akira Narita, another Akira, is very well known and decorated Japanese motocross athlete. He has 12 titles. He is considered to be the most successful professional motocross racer in Japanese history. Moving on, I do have a theory as to why perhaps Japanese motocross racers are not as successful internationally. Joe Shimada, who is 19 and a motocross racer from Japan, is the one who gave me a clue. Joe moved to the U.S. a couple of years ago because he wants to be more competitive and win a lot of races.
He said, they go the wrong way.
What?
They're driving them backwards around the track.
Stop.
Joe.
No. He said that in Japan, everyone seems to race for fun, whereas in the U.S., everyone takes racing super seriously.
I just like to have fun.
Well, he was talking about, like, like, you know, how he would like just do it for like the weekend, you know, like you're just doing it for fun. You're not like training all the time and like focusing.
So they don't have sponsors, or not on the level of American sponsors, is what you're saying.
Is that what you think it is?
Well, like, look, I don't know a lot about motocross either, but I know Mr. Pink. Who's Pink's husband? Corey Hart?
Yeah.
Corey Hart.
Yeah.
I know Dave Mira, RIP. I know some other people whose names are probably on video games. And they're on video games because they have sponsors that go beyond. Monster Energy is sending these guys to the moon. Like, they're, you know, on X Games, and they're doing all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, that doesn't exist in Japan, because if that kind of money was there, you would go, well, I'm not going to do this for fun. I'm going to do this every day until I'm the best so I can compete for this money.
That might be. I'm not 100% sure. I know that they do have, like, teams that, like Honda has a team and stuff like that. But, like, as to, like, having other sponsorship that's not, like, who is your team, that your is your bike and everything, I'm not 100% sure. I know that exists in the United States.
Yeah.
For sure. I've noticed that, like, a lot of professional Japanese motorbikes, they don't have like sponsorship on the bikes, and I'm not sure if that's like they don't want it to be decluttered or to be cluttered, or they don't have it.
I think we found our answer.
Okay.
I think that's it right there.
Okay. Well, maybe that's what it is, but he said that like his coaches in the States like pushed him to go like, you know, 10 seconds faster than what he just did, and like just pushed him to go further and everything.
Sure.
Anyways, I thought it was weird that like that Japan isn't very competitive about it. But if they don't have sponsorship, you know, then maybe you, it would be something that you would just do for fun unless you want to. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not trying to put words in people's mouths. But Joe's U.S. coaches and his training are working. In January of 2021, Joe became the second Japanese rider in history after Narita to have a podium finish in the AMA Supercross Championship, which is an American racing series. He reached the podium two more times during the championship in 2021, including his first win.
Nice.
Yes. There is a separate FIM Motocross World Championship for women called Women's MX. So it's doubtful that you are going to have a situation like Haruka's where there is one woman rider.
But this is like, I mean, I don't...
I know, it's modernized.
They don't, yeah. I mean, but what the thing they go to is out in the country. This is a country county fair type thing. Like,
oh, you? Yeah, it kind of have that casual feel.
It didn't
to
seem
it.
Like an official competition. Like, I don't know, maybe she's ranked, but this just seemed like... Although there is a... She almost gets in a fight and murdered by a team that clearly has like their own truck and like gear and stuff like that, and so I don't know, maybe.
Did you notice that her number was one and she came in first?
Yeah, if you're not first, you're last.
Yeah, right, exactly. Also, like the guys who were chasing her in the truck were wearing their motorcycle helmets in the truck.
Yeah,
and well, I was like, why? And then like,
because we didn't want to draw faces.
I guess, but then she kicks their butts and the helmets come the off faces. For a little bit and you see a face and then it goes back on.
I don't know. They're less threatening when they don't have the helmets on. Now they seem more human.
I think that's
painful
it.
Grimaces where she's knocked them out.
Yeah, they should have just had like the monster be like the doll, like you were saying, and just like have it look like a creepy racer doll.
I know she has to, we probably shouldn't do this now, but I know she has to pull off to hide so we can have an episode.
Yeah.
Based around a waterfall.
And a rainbow?
Not a waterfall. the whole point is that she's faster than they are. So why doesn't she just blow their doors off and just see you in Tokyo?
Because we have to have an episode.
She's on like a crotch rocket and like they're in a big truck.
I know.
She just blow them away.
Yeah.
See, we'll beat the bus back.
I know.
Where do you want me to drop you?
I feel like this whole episode is like, I know that X, but we
plus
have to
I know
have
from
an episode.
TV shows that the faster you go in a moving vehicle, women are like, oh boy. I'm enjoying this.
Right, right. Okay, I see what you're
saying.
Said
no real woman ever.
No.
Slow down!
Why are you going so fast? yeah. But so I don't know, but the first official all-women championship in the real world took place in the U.S. in 1974. In 1982, five women from the U.S. were invited to participate at Tokyo Supercross, which is a motocross event at Meiji Jingu Stadium in Shinjuku, which is actually a baseball stadium. The female racers didn't compete in the main race, but in one which they competed just against each other. And this was meant to represent the U.S. at the first annual Tokyo Supercross.
That's really cool. And I'm glad that that happened. And I'm sure that it only grew from there. But what do you think the perception, what do you think the audience was like for that? You know,
just politely clapping. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it is Japan.
It is Japan.
But in Japan's polite way, they're probably like, all right, let's watch this. Right.
I mean, it was 1982. So probably.
Yeah. 1982.
We're starting to get a little bit more progressive at that point. But yeah,
this is still the era of the motocross movie where there's a bunch of guys. And then at one point, you know, another rider comes in and goes up the thing and goes over all the whoopses and then comes out and they're like, this guy's good. Helmet comes off. Hair comes down.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's Nicole Kidman or whatever.
They're actually, I can't remember their name right now. This is not related to Japan, which is why I didn't include it in here. But in real life, there was a, her first name was Carrie, but spelled K-E-R-R-Y.
Okay. So far, so good.
And she was the first. Good. She's the first woman. Yep. She was the first one. Well, kind of. She's the first woman to get her license, her motocross license. And they didn't know. You had to fill out paperwork and send it in. They didn't know that she was a woman because there was no box on the form to mark your gender because they just assumed you were a guy. And she got her license and then she showed up to the race. And when she took her helmet off, they took her license away because she was a woman.
That's not how that's supposed to go.
I know. And then she took them to court and she eventually got her license back. But it was, yeah.
Get the idea that maybe her name was like Karina, but she's like, I'm going to go by Carrie.
Possibly. See if I can
sneak into this thing.
Right.
Well, good move.
Yeah. But another up-and-coming motocross star is Manaka Kawai, who was the 2020 All-Japanese Motocross Female Class Champion. Manaka is 18 years old, and it's her goal to race abroad by 2023.
Well, we'll have to check back in. Next year.
Yes.
And see how she's doing.
Yeah. But the younger generations of Japanese motocross athletes seem to be doing really well.
What if she's got like short hair and she takes her helmet off and she's like,
just flipping it around. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Well, what if like Haruka did that? I mean, she's got short hair, except they all seem to know that she's a woman already.
Yeah, right.
So that doesn't work.
Yeah, I like how, I don't know. I guess it's maybe like our girls just need glasses because nobody else seems to not know that she's a woman. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Is female presenting.
Mm-hmm.
I had a thought. Again, maybe this doesn't go here, but I had a thought when I was watching the episode, which is like, okay, Usagi, who, by the way, we're giving her all this credit for being smart and having grown and everything, but she just completely lets the cologne thing slide. That doesn't go anywhere.
I know.
And I was thinking, so they see this woman in plaid pants, and they're like, oh, boy, this is a hot guy.
Yeah.
When Sailor Uranus comes out, is it like, oh, no, is she a handsome woman? Do you know what I mean? Like, there's no confusion there. She's in a skirt.
She's wearing a skirt.
Okay.
And you can,
well, that's,
well, and you
sexist?
Can,
what is that? That's genderist.
Well, it is. And you can see her boobs. Just saying. But
I think we watched different cuts.
I don't know. It is. I think it's like, they think that, when they think that Haruka is a man, they're like, ooh, interesting. But well, then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know. And
those
it's
are
like,
the walls that we're breaking down.
Yeah, exactly. Those are the walls that we're breaking
slowly.
Down. Slowly. Yes.
But
exactly.
someday, that rider's going to win first place, take off the helmet, shake out the hair. It's a guy.
Yes.
Mind explosion. Then what?
Exactly. Itadakimasu with Usagi. What did Usagi eat in this episode? No food in this episode, so we're moving on.
No, and they missed a chance. I mean, I know there's a lot to get to in this episode, but, you know, there's going to be, you're at a fair situation.
Yes.
There's going to be
food stalls.
Funnel cakes in America, but, you know, fair food. And
takoyaki.
Food, takoyaki.
Yakisoba probably,
yeah,
too.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
Yeah, a lot of fried stuff. And
like cotton candy?
I am trying to think if I've seen any cotton candy in Japan. I'm not 100% sure.
Something to think about for the future.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll run into it in an episode. But knowing what I know, 98 episodes of this show, the Japanese either love cotton candy or they are completely ignorant of it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
Yeah.
It's possible that they know about it and they're just like, oh, okay. But, like, I think they either, because it's so weird when you think about what it is,
true.
It's so strange. And it's, there's a weird way to make it. And it mm-hmm. just seems like if you might tell me they invented it and I'd believe you. So I think they either, like, they know about it and they love it, or they're like, what are you eating? Insulation? What is this? Like, they wouldn't even know anything about it.
I think you're right.
That's all on me. I don't want anybody else to get in trouble for this. This is my opinion.
No, I think that you're right. I would say that, like, a lot of Japanese sweets, they don't tend to be, like, overly sugary. I kind of wonder from that perspective if they would like it. But I also feel like the kind of uniqueness and weirdness factor would maybe possibly win them over. So,
yeah, I mean, there's all things you can make it different colors. You can do all kinds of things with it.
Right, exactly. And, like, it looks like insulation. Yeah, I don't know. It's weird.
Sprinkles coconut on top.
Yeah, or sprinkles. Yeah.
Or, like, put some egg in it. They love doing that.
Mayonnaise.
Yeah, right, mayonnaise.
Wow.
Hold on. You're not done. There you go. Perfect.
No, you ruined it. Villain Gage, we rate a baddie 1 to 5 dark stars, 5 being the most wicked. The daemon in this episode is named Taiyan. So the daemon name, Taiyan's name is the word for tire in Japanese.
Yeah.
Or Taya, and an N at the end of it. That is it.
Taya N.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Taiyan. Yeah.
All right.
That's it.
Nice.
Yeah. Her character design... Her skin is light purple, and she appears to be mostly naked. However, her...
I think she's just made of rubber.
Maybe.
I don't think this is skin.
Maybe.
Because nothing else to me explains the lack of design here. Do you know what I mean?
It's just...
When you've got somebody like Steeringu, who is...
Yeah.
Both a car and a car driver... And a grid girl all at the same time. Look, we don't have to go into my love of steering wheel. We don't have to do that. But this is clearly like they're like, it turns into a tire. That's important. And so when it's not a tire, it's a person. And the person is, I guess, made of the rubber that is the tire or something like that. It's just, they just went, yeah, good enough.
But there's a couple of things
Put
about.
Put a light on her boob. Do that.
I know.
Nailed it.
There are a couple of things that disturb me besides that.
Having a big tire in her crotch?
Yes, that's honestly, that's the main one.
Right, she's like a transformer, but she doesn't transform. She just kind of goes bleh, and then becomes the tire.
I mean, that's got to hurt. That's all I kept thinking. I'm sorry.
Wait a minute. So you're saying in addition to rolling over her face, her crotch is in the middle of the tire and is out.
I mean, that's
every
what
time
they're
it
suggesting.
Bounces, she's like, whoa.
That's what they're suggesting. I don't know. I mean, like, designs like this just make it abundantly clear to me that the animation team was almost all, if not completely,
overworked.
Men.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, and it's just like, but okay, so that's the main thing.
My crotch is a tire and I must scream.
Right. But, like, then she's got a headlight. On her headlights, it's like,
yeah, all right.
Okay, all right. And then she's got like high heels. But if she is naked, That means those are fused to her body.
I'm listening. Oh, wait, no, what?
Yes!
Yeah, that's why I think that she's like, don't remember the name, the wine one.
Oh, it was like Jingyu or something.
Or a potion or
yeah,
whatever that is. She was liquid.
She seemed like wine to me because she came from wine.
That's right. She came from the wine glass.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so they're like, well, she didn't need a costume. She's like T-1000 type thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, but do something though. Even the T-1000 turns into a cop and step-parents are dead. And
It's
not enough to just be, she's galvanized rubber, 100%.
I liked the wine one more because I just thought that her abilities were weird and creepy.
Yeah. They're leaning heavily on the tire thing. She does the little Samus.
So much.
She turns like Samus. She turns into an object that rolls and then they're rolling all over the place. But she could have been like sticky rubber, or she could have stretched if she was like a rubber Stretch Armstrong situation.
Yeah, or like she's Fantastic Four. What's his name?
Let's see, we've got half the name, and it's a man.
Richards.
Mr. Fantastic?
Yes! Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Why couldn't I think
of that? What is the guy, and he is married, I know he's fantastic. Yeah, but they had like, we've got a tire, and then the motorcycle's got two tires, so there's two tires.
Yes,
and
yes.
And they turn into tires.
Headlights on the boobs.
Lunch?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're done.
And then when they turn into two, they're on like opposite boobs, and then when they are looking into the cave, they can use their headlights as lights.
Yeah. What if they like split, like dun 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 dun, and they like split down the middle, but then so one's got like a handlebar on one side of her head, the other's got the handlebar on the other side of her head.
That would have been cooler.
It's like they're both like half of a motorcycle. That's just too much work.
That's probably what they were thinking.
Yeah.
You're like, this is weird and off-putting and also not as much work.
Yeah.
So, I mean, she's got purple skin. What do you want? She's got like a bright pink mullet with bangs.
Yeah.
And like her star tattoo is hidden underneath her bangs.
yeah.
Yep. So she has to reveal that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Continuing my thing.
Yeah.
Some motorcycles have saddlebags, have side compartments, So each one of them could have one of those on each hip.
Yes.
And she could open up the door and then it could be on her butt. It could be salacious like you guys like it.
Right.
But instead it's just like, put it on the head. Not thinking about it. Don't care. It's on the head.
She's naked. So you're thinking you can see it already, but she has to reveal it.
Right.
Okay, great. She's got pointy ears, creepy orange eyes, pointy teeth, and lime green lipstick, because why the hell not?
Yeah.
And let's see here. She's also wearing dangly tire earrings. And if you're wearing earrings, you aren't really naked, are you?
You're going, no, never. High heels and earrings.
Yeah. So, exactly. And this might be go without saying, but Taeyeon is one of the monsters of Sailor Moon who gets mentioned as one of the most disturbing, off-putting, or most out there, at least like image-wise.
I haven't been through the whole series yet.
I know, but like if you're not familiar with the series and somebody just shows you Taeyeon or like the two tires. I did like the one thing that, did you notice that when they became tires, they it was just like her bangs. Like she didn't have the mullet anymore because you can't get your hair stuck in the tire.
No, that would be insane.
But your head can get smashed and maybe your crotch is rolling around up there too. I don't know. Right to our rating. This design is off-putting, not because she's almost naked, but I because of all the things that we've mentioned, the tire mostly, but also the headlight and to me the high heels, it's weird. Double Taeyeon is cool and pretty intimidating. Also really freaking creepy that your Daimon is now two and she is literally a head on a tire. And the chain ring attack where they get handcuffed together. It's my pet theory that I think that they can do that because sometimes people add chains to their tires in winter to stay out of the snow. I don't know. I guess I was just being goofy.
Tire chains?
Yeah.
No, maybe you put a club on your motorcycle to like chant to a post or something like that.
Oh, but I guess you wouldn't do that. No, on those motorcycle are just handcuffs tires.
Because yeah, this is right. This is an 80s sitcom now.
So I'm going to give her 2 out of 5 dark stars.
I don't. All right, 1. The second that she appeared, and also she. Okay, look. Maybe look. The world has done worse things to Tyrion than I could ever do to her with this one. Like, she doesn't get a transformation. She just sort of exists because they decided they wanted to do this thing where we, you know, we'll be right back. They cut right to the eye catch.
That's true.
And so they come back and she's already extant. And the second she comes up and they pan up her, I'm like, no, 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 no. This is everything I hate about bad Sailor Moon villain design. She's got the John Romita Jr. just one color because I didn't want to do anything.
Yeah.
They gave her the pointed ears and the teeth because everybody's just got those. Uh-huh. She's got weird. She's got one boob that's a headlight.
Yep.
Because they're going to shine them later. And that's the only reason that she's got that. I know it wouldn't make any sense that she's got two because it's just one. But when they split up, they both have one. So what is that? Like, if she made like 10 copies of herself, because this is something that she can do as a rubber person or whatever, that might be interesting.
Yeah.
But that's not, her powers are weird. They don't make any sense. You really got into the wheel thing and you just couldn't let go of that. Don't like that. She's also defeated in a weird way because she splits in two and one of them gets world shooken. So I don't know if that one is just dead, because in the past that's just sort of stun them or whatever. And then I think, Saigi's going to bring it home. She's going to hit him with the thing. But instead, nope, we get the whole point of him is that there's two. If that means you have to draw two hearts, I'm sorry. You made more work for yourself. But instead, there's just one of them that goes through a thing.
Yeah.
If world shaking stunned them and then they went back into one person.
No, you're right.
And that's all you have to, a couple more frames of animation. You're internally consistent with your idea here, but they didn't do that. So she turns into two people and becomes twice as sucky. I give you a 1. May God have mercy on your soul.
Yeah, they're missing a step.
This is in my bottom 5.
Wow. Okay. All right. Keep track. Tyon, you are definitely on notice. So farewell, my lovely, where we rate the way that our daimons go out. She is completely still, which she hasn't been this entire episode. And also silent when the heart hits her, which I don't know if she's also been. And then we get a reaction, but I feel like we've seen this exact reaction before. So you feel like they're just copying it from another, like, oh, I'm falling backwards and flailing. And so I'm going to give this one a 1 out of 5.
It might be like this whole segment is kind of a joke because it's exactly the same every time. Who said that? I give it a 2. Simply because I feel bad about the 1.
About the 1.
It's true.
We flip-flopped.
Again, I mean, I guess her existence is down to the writers and their laziness or the energy that they put into something. So it is a little weird that a rolling tire is just like, not even making any noise, just watching this thing come at her. Then when she goes through, it's okay. Again, didn't time it, but I feel like it's longer every time and it's really reaching a point of payoff for me. And then I thought her lovely was kind of squealy and okay. So
okay.
Eked out a 2, but like, you know, you're not first.
Oh no.
You are last in this to one person race.
For Subbu or Dubbu, where we talk about the most interesting differences between the sub or the dub. In the dub, when Michelle and Amara are talking about Yamada and that he could have a pure heart, Michelle says, "Leave it to me, cuz."
Anything can happen with two cuzzes share a heart.
Yeah, right. Doesn't it look juicy? In the dub, when Amara and Serena are being harassed by the truck driver who is trying to run them off the road, Amara says, "Are they trying to kill me?" In the original, Haruka says, "Did he do that on purpose?"
Right.
So, I mean, there's just, I don't know. Kill shows up a lot in the dub. In the dub, the Daimon's full body is shown. However, they cut the full body pan and a lot of the full frontal shots as a Daimon appears to be naked. Except for the tire.
So how do you even do it if you don't? Yeah, I guess.
You know, I think
so. She's just a wheel the whole time.
No,
that's almost weirder.
she's not a wheel the whole time. I think they just, they don't, you know, when she, they just cut it down.
If they were, this is, look, are you ready for one of my patented rants about capitalism? If you really cared about perverting the kids, this wouldn't be on at all. But instead you're like, well, we got to fill 12 minutes of this so we can run another 12 minutes of commercials in this half hour block. And it doesn't make any sense if they're, we'll get letters if there's no villain at all or if it's just a wheel. Yes. So they can get 2 seconds of purple boob.
Probably.
Instead of 30 seconds of purple boob.
Right.
But if it's harmful, it's harmful, right? So which is it, you stuck up hypocrites?
Yeah, well.
Now I'm, you got me defending Tyron now. I am on Tyron's side. That's how upside down this whole thing is.
That is pretty upside down.
Upside down suspension.
Yes. In the Korean dub, the full frontal shots were cut completely. So okay. She may have just been a tire.
That's,
I don't know.
That's Korea.
Yeah, exactly. But in the dub, Kaori Knight says to Sailor Uranus, quote, this is the end of the road for your cousin here.
Even, that's pretty good.
Even though at this point, nobody knows who Uranus and Neptune's, like, secret identities. Like, nobody. Oh. So, yeah, I don't know why.
But they were coming after a guy who's, there's motorcycles in the air. You know, it's sort of, she can make some road puns.
Okay, all right. But stay with me here. In the dub, when we're
waving the pit flag at you.
Yeah. And Uranus, when Moon and Uranus are in the cave and Sailor Moon is trying to talk to Uranus into saving Neptune, Moon says, quote, you can't abandon your cousin. And later in the same conversation, she says, quote, she's your family. So.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Nobody knows.
Anyways, in the dub, Uranus says to Moon, quote, if I go out there, they'll kill me. And this seems really out of character to me because Haruka does not seem to be afraid of anything.
No.
So she would never say anything like this.
No.
So that bothers me. In the dub, when the Daimon is defeated, instead of saying lovely, she says deflated.
Dumb.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Dumb. No, it's fine. I didn't write it. I have a little bit of trivia. At the race, there is a sign in the background that says Toei, and from what I could tell, it says Toei, see you, and then Yamada's big head was in the way, and then Grand Prix, so I don't know what it was exactly.
Toei Cup?
Toei Cup, maybe. Toei Cup Grand Prix? Yeah, that could work. Yeah. Okay. All right. You solved the puzzle for me.
Next Tuesday.
There was also a tent among the vendors at the race course that had Endo written on it. And this was probably a reference to the director of this episode, Yuji Endo. Huh. When Moon and Uranus were handcuffed to each other, the cuffs were attached to Moon's right wrist and Uranus's left. However, when they were in the cave and Uranus was trying to take the cuff off, it was on her right wrist.
Yep.
Yep. All right. Now we are at our wrap up and our rating. I like that we get to see Haruka racing in this episode. I like that Usagi learns more about what Neptune and Uranus's mission is. And I like that her and Uranus have to work together, even though they don't know each other that well. But I also just like that we learn more about what's going on with her mission. And I feel like this is an important episode because we learn some additional information, but it's just kind of all over the place, and I think it's okay, but it's not great. So I'm going to give it 2 out of 5 roses.
Yeah, I agree with 2. All the positives that you said, they're just, sometimes you get a real winner and everything comes together.
Yeah.
And sometimes you get, we wanted to jam motocross into this because again, we're going off of their script. I feel like we're chasing them in terms of the things that we talk about. I think that they have we have a list and it's their list. They have a list that's like, what could the girls do this week?
Right.
You know, that's just something around town or maybe something that's, you know, characteristically Japanese, like Blossom Viewing Festival or something like that. And so they're doing that. And now they got to, the card says motocross. Let's do that.
Right.
But they don't, maybe they didn't know anything about motocross. They didn't know how to make a story. Because I feel like you could see a, There, you know, there's movies that actually there aren't a lot of motorcycle movies or motocross movies, but you could do something there.
Yeah.
You know, they just didn't think that through. And so they immediately got out of that.
Yes.
And they had like guys, people try to like all day long. We see weirdly shaped women with green hair trying to kill these girls. And, you know, that's fine. I know in the world, it's also deadly in the world of the show, but it's fantasy violence. In this episode, two guys try to murder two teenage girls.
Yes, absolutely,
and it's,
right.
It's just to get them to a position where they're isolated and by themselves. So it's just Sailor Moon and Sailor Uranus for this episode. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's all fine and good, I guess. But then Kara Knight steps in and takes a hand, but doesn't really do anything. It's like, if you can shoot lasers or something, now would be the time if you really want to nail these girls. And Neptune is... It falls off a cliff and is in danger, but it doesn't really matter at all.
No.
Poor Yamada. The guy just runs off into the forest, never to return, so he wasn't important to the point where the conceit has always been, and I've talked about how I get bored with the conceit sometimes, but the conceit is they find a guy, they check his heart, and it was so perfunctory because it just wasn't... That took place before the eye catch.
Well, it didn't even matter to Coyote Knight.
Well, just after the eye catch.
Yeah.
And so, it's just, and then she's just like, non-talisman, here's your heart, get out of here.
And I'm like, here's you the could real just, plan.
You know how sometimes the, like, Tuxedo Mask is just not in the episode?
Yeah.
You could just, like, not have them go for a heart this episode.
Yes.
But they were, they usually, they do variations on a theme, and they variated too hard, which is not really a word. And,
it is now.
Well, that's a word, but it doesn't really fit like that. And, you know, two wheels, two stars. That's what I say. I'm at the end. I have run out of things to say, good or bad, about this episode. It's lucky it's getting to two.
It's episodes like this that make me really frustrated.
Appreciate the good ones.
Yeah, but that like make me really frustrated that the plot isn't moving forward more. Like if it's going to be a bad episode, at least like move the plot forward more. Because there are some really great filler episodes. I wouldn't necessarily say this is a filler episode because important information happens. It's just not a good episode.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and it's too bad. And even the things that you said, like, oh, you know, we learned more about their mission. Do we? I feel like we kind of knew all that stuff.
I mean, we as the audience know. Haruka mentions the silence again.
Right, but which we already know about. If this is structured like the last two seasons, then, you know, we will lead up to some halfway point where there will be a change of status and we'll fruit basket upset everything. But I don't know if that's what's going on. I feel like they are locked into a storytelling structure similar to the TV structure that I mentioned where... You know, we know, let's say, what are we on? Nine, episode 11, let's say, is going to be the big turn, the mid-season finale. So up to that point, it's like Zeno's paradox. We keep cutting it in half, but we never get quite to the wall.
Yeah.
And so motocross? And the next one's like bass fishing or something like that. And it just, we're just, the worst character designs go in here because we got to say something cool for the end. And
I feel like last episode, like... I
got your number, Sailor Moon.
Right. I feel like it was a good character episode, but it was also like, Ami hasn't gotten her heart stolen yet, and also let's do something with Neptune. They're both water swimming. And so it was something that Neptune was good at. So now we have to... Now that it was like, okay, we did a Neptune episode, so now we needed to do a Uranus episode.
Yeah.
So, motocross.
Yeah.
You know? But it's like... I feel like they could have planned stuff out better. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like stuff is really well planned, and other times I feel like the Yoma this time, like I just felt like she was just kind of thrown together, like you were saying. So.
Yeah, totally.
My English title is Moon and Uranus Together, Cuffed in Teamwork.
Cuffed in Teamwork.
Yeah.
Which sounds like, you know, Chinese translation of like marriage. Marriage means cuffed in teamwork.
Yes, exactly.
In the ancient tongue. Mine needs some explanation.
Okay, go
ahead. And only two people on earth are going to find it funny. But I was talking about motorcycle movies before, and there aren't a ton of motorcycle movies. Name some.
It's not really a motorcycle movie, but what is his name? He rides a motorcycle a whole bunch. Older movie. This is really great.
Easy Rider?
No, not Easy Rider, but that's a good one.
You thinking of Steve McQueen?
Thank you. Yes, and
where he rides a motorcycle at the very end of the movie.
Steve McQueen is in
a documentary, one of the most famous documentaries about motocross, called On Any Sunday.
Oh, nice.
So, half a point for you. Side hackers? The side hackers? They just aren't like, there's movies like Mad Max where they ride motorcycles, but it's not like a motorcycle movie.
Right.
You know, I mentioned like Time Rider before, which is a movie about a guy who is, I think he's a cross-country motocross rider, and he ends up going back in time to the Old West. It's a stupid B movie. It's just like a C movie. There just aren't a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. Like I said before, I think that you could, there are all kinds of movies about hotshots in different professions or sports.
Yeah.
You can, you know, there's Days of Thunder. There's a NASCAR movie.
Mm-hmm.
It came out a long time ago now. I can't believe it hasn't been. There's probably been other NASCAR movies. I'm just not in the market for it.
Talladega Nights.
Yeah, I mean, that's a,
it's a
comedy
goof,
that I've been quoting the entire show. But
yeah.
Put that evil on me, Mika. But when I think about motocross riders and motorcycle movies, I think about one movie from one of my favorite directors, Paul Verhoeven. The movie, and my title for the episode is, Spetters!
Ah! I love it!
Do yourself a favor and search for Spetters. Spelled like it sounds. The trailer on YouTube.
The trailer is great.
You'll love it. And I'll tell you about Spetters and about Paul Verhoeven. And we don't have a lot of time for this, so I'll try to make it fast. But Paul Verhoeven, this is like the last movie that he made in Holland before he basically just quit. Because Spetters.
Yes, you have to say it that way.
Is about young punks, young people who are into motorcycle racing and riding. And Rutger Hauer is in it, and some other people are in it. And it's about all these things that he likes to explore. Sex, drugs, violence, youth, counterculture. And it was, there's some LGBTQ themes in it too.
Nice.
And it was too much. And I don't know, I didn't know they were such prigs in Holland, but he was censored for it. And he basically went, screw you guys, I'm going to Hollywood. And then he went to Hollywood after that.
Wow.
But because of movies like Spetters, he was not offered the job directing Return of the Jedi by George Lucas. But it was on the table. Now, can you imagine Return of the Jedi, directed by Paul Verhoeven?
It would have been a lot darker.
Yeah, it would have been a lot, well, it would have been a lot sexier.
Well, that too.
Lay on that bikini.
Okay.
Spetter, or Spetters,
yes,
in Dutch, means both good-looking boy or girl. It's a slang term, comparable to like being a hunk or a babe.
But
it also means splatters or splashes, referring to the dirt that splashes up when you are riding motocross.
Very nice.
And there's one of the characters works in a chip shop and thinks about that when they're putting the chips in the oil thing and the oil comes out. And that's Spetters too.
Oh my gosh.
So we got good looking boys and girls.
Yes.
We got motorcycle riding and dirt.
Yes.
And we got splashing all over the place. Spetters.
Next episode, we are talking about episode number 99, Otoko no Yasashisa Yuchiro Rei ni Shitsuen, in Japanese, A Man's Kindness, Yuchiro Heartbroken by Rei, the English translation, and the English title, Mixed Emotions.
Okay. All right. We're going somewhere. Mm. It's a Rei week.
It is a Rei week.
This recipe box is not a lot of cards in here. Oh, Yuchiro! Oh, yeah! All right. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Bring the Yuchiro trilogy to a close.
We have not seen him in a while, so...
No. And if we haven't seen you in a while, fix it. Fix
Please
it.
Do.
Join us on Discord. Join us on... A Discord? Is that what you said?
A Discord.
Discord. Or join us on social media, and we can talk about Spetters. Or whatever you want to. We talk about pop culture, Sailor Moon, and sci-fi, and movies and TV, and all kinds of topics on our Discord. Join us there. You can also find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at various places. And at this point, I'm too confused to remember which one is what. But if you search for Sailor Noob, you're going to find us.
Yeah. Well, that's it for our show this week. And the name of the moon will be punishing you next week with another episode of Sailor Noob.
Spetters!